What's the Equality Act? Is it H.R. 1? Is that the equality? Or is it H.R. 5? H.R. 1? Is it S.R. 1? Okay. Good man. So anyway, I'm probably going to mention this Sunday, but truth and freedom. Is it truth and freedom? Truth and liberty. Thank you. So they had this gal whose name I can't remember because I hadn't met her before, but on Monday. Is that her name? So she has, I'll show it Sunday, but you can go on her website. She has a simple website where you can go on, and they'll send this postcard with some details. It's vote no on SR1. And what they're going to do is I'm sure it's already been met, but they're having a million of them, over a million sent to each senator, to the White House, and to the Supreme Court justices. So they were saying that the stack of these bigger postcards is higher than the Capitol, and then put on the Washington Monument on top of the Capitol. It'll be that high, higher than that as far as a stack. And so to do that, it's like $30 or a little bit less, $30 for the postcards and the postage to be sent to each one of those representative senators. I think that's pretty awesome to make a statement. Because why? Because as we know, they went into detail, if this passes, what it means for churches. It's going to basically be a protected class. We understand protected classes, right? And there's a reason for them, right? Against those that, based upon race, color, familial status, children. Well, now they're starting to add more and more. You know, now it's whether you're a transgender, or so. What's that mean? One day you're a boy. Next week you want to be a girl. So this law passes. We're going to have people that are men going into women's locker rooms. We can have it to where we can't open up our church for anybody here, for anybody to do things like funerals and special events, because if we do, we have to make it open or available to everybody for every idea because of this protected classes. So maybe do a little research on that. This has, when you read this thing, has everything to do with destroying the church. If those don't line up, we can't have any values. We can't stand up for the Word of God. You'll be considered a bigot. You'll be considered a form of racism. That's where this is headed if it passes. And the other thing that they've already mentioned too is we got to keep this filibuster in place. So far, that looks safe. Until maybe in 2022, the elections change, right? The House, the demographics of the House and the Senate. So things that we need to stand up for. If you go Sunday, I'll have that website, but just making you guys aware of that as the body. I just realized as I move forward, declaring the gospel, we've got to stand up for these things that are coming against us, and we're not going to be able to do it anymore. We'll be ineffective. We'll be sued. These small churches, the bulk of American Christians go to small churches like ours. And if they can't afford attorneys and things like that, they just close down or they become ineffective. They don't open it up to our communities, so it really affects that. But we're praying, God, that's not going to happen. That's why we're talking about that, Father, that won't happen. I pray there's 2 million cards that show up. Where do you store 2 million big postcards? Here, every day, just like a wheelbarrow full of them showing up to each senator and in each Supreme Court justice. Amen? Are you with me on that? Amen? We thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your peace. We thank you that we can take action. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You love his word. If there's anything I realize, I appreciate you being here, as we're walking day by day in this world, in our country. Say, Lord, give us a fresh love for your word. A fresh love for your word. Amen? Amen. As David says, your word is like honey on my lips. You eat a big steak, you eventually get full, right? You're eventually going to, I don't care how big the steak, you know, at some point, I don't care how much you can eat, you're going to back up from the table and say, no mas, no more, right? But you know what, the word of God, it's opposite. As we begin to feed on the word of God, we become hungrier. We become more desirous of it. We don't come to a point and say, that's enough, I've had enough. It actually stirs something, and it's more of his life-giving word becoming rhema to you and I, amen? So we thank you for, I think he's doing that in his church in this day and hour as well. Amen. However you read, whether you've got the regular Bible like this, amen. that's your regular one. Amen. New King James. I guess that's okay. New King James. But you know, I get you. And then you have the devices, which I love, where they have the Bible with about 20 different translations, including the Young's literal translation, which is awesome. So different ways now that we can study, feed on the word, amen. Lord, how we love your word. We're on session 18, starting at Romans. We're in Romans 10. We're going to start at 14 through 21 in the New American Standard Bible version. And then we'll get into Romans chapter 11 if we have time. So verse 14 of Romans chapter 10 says, how then are they to call on him? And we talked about this last Sunday. How then are they, will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? 15. But how are they to preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Amen? So it's amazing the power of God coming forth through human beings, or for you and I reading the word of God. But one thing, it's going to become through hearing. Or when you're reading, then you're hearing in your mind. Amen? So it's amazing to me. Your salvation came through hearing. Hearing something, right? So it talks about, hey, how can they hear if they're not sent? So thank you, Father God, that we don't get tired of hearing your word. Thank you, Lord, that our ears are open to your word. Amen. We'll talk a little bit further as we get through this chapter into 11, how the Israelites became dull of hearing. Amen. I pray that none of us in here is dull of hearing. You're here on Wednesday nights. You can't be dull of hearing, right? Dull of hearing. You think of dull of hearing, it's like you hear, you know, is it the Peanuts one where the teacher, remember Charlie Brown's teacher?
You know,
you guys know, you've heard that, right? Lord, I thank you that we don't hear the word of God like that. That there's a joy, a stirring in our hearts, amen? Strengthening, that we don't become like society that says, that's foolishness. Amen. But it's actually life. Amen. We believe his report. We've talked about this quite a bit on Sundays too in verse 16, Bill. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Amen. Word by the word of Christ. And basically the good news too. Whose report have we believed? Have you read that in Isaiah again? That good, it talks about the different things that they're gonna, that report offered. Healing, amen, deliverance, wholeness, freedom, not just salvation from hell. It's not just fire insurance. You know, if we're living in a day and age, if you accept Christ and it's just fire insurance and you don't believe the remainder of the good news, I don't know if people will make it. You need the Spirit of God to keep you, your ears open, not to be dull. God never designed it for us to be saved and then that's it. Always growing, always strengthening him, always gleaning from him, always receiving from his Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God that lives in us by faith, day by day. Often wonder, Lord, your Spirit living in me, how do I glean from you day by day? How many days go by or have gone by where I have the Spirit of God in me but it wasn't tapped for anything. There was no demand put on it at all. How many times is it easy for me when I'm going through the day just to try to work out all my problems, my struggles, my decisions, what's going on with my different relations just by my own reasoning? Man, we're living in a day and age where I'm learning to stop and say, Father, I'm praying for that person. Father, I'm believing for that person. Lord, this is a day of miracles. Father, this is a day of your hand moving afresh and anew because of a fresh focus. It hasn't that God ever changed, that ever God gave up, but maybe in the last so many years, maybe the church has been in somewhat of a stupor. Father, thank you for waking us up. We think of what's happened in the last 6 or 8 months, and we just look at how mad we are for certain scenarios coming about that we did not envision happening. But look at your life. I look at my life and my heart where I've become alive and woke up. When I hear about the things in politics or anything where I need to stand before, I maybe didn't pay attention much. After all, I'm really busy. After all, I got a lot to do. Children, wife, family, friends, work, right? Whatever it is, planning. Nothing wrong with planning. But not stopping and saying, hey, what's going on today? How can I make an impact today? Now, I don't know about you, but just like I was talking earlier about these bills going through the Senate or in Arizona, I'm looking at how can I get involved? Even if it's sending letters, even if it's a phone call, even if it's making others that I know aware of it, just that alone will make a difference. Amen? Amen. So faith cometh from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Verse 18, but I say, surely they have never heard, have they? This is Paul. On the contrary, their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, in verse 19, but I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses saying, I will make you jealous with those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will anger you. And there's a perfect example that we'll talk about. Where what he's talking about here, this prophecy in the Old Testament, is as the gospel went forth to the Gentiles, the Jewish people begin to be jealous. Acts 13:44, Bill. This is Paul. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. So the things that were prophesied, we saw coming about in the book of Acts. We heard Paul talk about constantly about those that were coming against him, those that were trying to kill him, those that wanted to imprison him. That scripture right there about making the Jewish people jealous as God made the gospel, the new covenant available to everybody, we can see right there in Acts 13:44. Now going back to verse 20, it says, and Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. Verse 20 of Romans 10. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. 21, but as for Israel, he says, I have spread out my hands all day long to a disobedient and obstinate people. Amen. So we know that the people, when Jesus was here, many of the Jews rejected him. Amen. We know that when Jesus rose from the dead, we know on the day of Pentecost, many thousands of people came to Christ. It said 5,000 the first day. Thousands and thousands and thousands were added to the church. But the truth of the matter is tens of thousands did not come to Christ. Did not come to Christ at that time. Romans 11. Let's move on to Romans 11, 1. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? Far from it. For I too am an Israelite. This is Paul, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, verse 3, they have killed your prophets, they have torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself, this is God when he was talking to Elijah, I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knees to Baal. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. Amen? He does have a remnant. You know, it's funny that they were tripped up by Baal. If you remember with Elijah, God said there's 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Well, was there 2 million Jews at that time? You think about it, but God still had a small remnant of believers who would not bow their knee. You think of Baal. Baal means master, to marry, to be joined. You know, we're joint heirs with Christ. We are children of God. We're joined with him by the Holy Spirit. You think of that time if we talk about Baal. Israel, from the very beginning, was tripped up by Baal worship. So what was Baal worship like back then? Well, there was a temple with prostitutes supporting the temple for the worship of Baal. Its worship was filled with perversion, homosexuality, immorality, and sexual promiscuity. So the thing that tripped them up, or with Baal worship, it was a lot about the god of fertility. It was being involved in sexual sin. We know that in Revelation 2:14. So you remember Balaam, right? So Balaam was the one that a king came to Balaam and said, "Hey, I need you to curse the children of Israel." Do you remember that? And so he said, "No, I can't go with you." And finally, he did. And so he went on a high spot, looking over a portion of Israel. At that time, they're in the wilderness, and he could do nothing but bless them. And then the king was mad, so he took him to a higher spot. And Balaam, what did he do? He blessed him again. He said, "I can only say what the Lord would tell me." So he took him to a higher spot that overlooked all of Israel. And he just prophesied blessing over Israel. But you know, that was not the end of the story. We don't hear anything about what Balaam really did at that time until you go to Revelation 2:14. "But I have a few things against you, because you have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak," that was the king, Balak, "to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel." Remember the stumbling blocks we talked about last week, stumbling blocks. "Who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality." You know, 1 Corinthians 8 talks about how Paul says, hey, with talking to the Gentiles, you can eat food that's been sacrificed to idols. We're worshiping God. He was talking about not eating in front of weaker brothers who that might offend or cause them to stumble. But the next thing he says is, and to commit sexual immorality. So the thing that Balaam did was say, hey, I had to bless them, but let me tell you how you can get to them. And it's through this, it's through sexual sin, through Balaam, through the worship of Balaam. And you know, things haven't changed now. If you look at movies, if you look at social media, there's always it's always about the flesh, sexual sin, amen? People don't need to get married anymore. People can just live in sexual sin. That is the same thing today, the worship of Baal. The worship of Baal, it's the same spirit. The same spirit that was behind Baal was Satan, and it's the same spirit that we're facing today behind the spirit. And you see it in Hollywood, you see it in the news, you see it in every form of media, sex, 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 and it's that same spirit of worshiping Baal and saying, there's nothing wrong with that, and that's what tripped up Israel, saying, what's wrong with worshiping Baal? The sexual sin. The things that drew them away from God. Father, may we as a people, through grace, through your grace, understand still sexual sin, sex between a man and his wife, amen? Lord, may we, our eyes be open. So if you read in 1 Corinthians 8, he talks about, Paul says, hey, you've got somebody in your body who's doing something that you don't even see the other Gentiles. You have somebody there who's sleeping with his stepmom, basically. His father's wife. So he goes in there and he says, and you guys are proud about it. You don't say anything. You're just letting this go on in the body. And he says, this shouldn't be. A little leaven, leaven's a whole lump, right? And so at the end, it says, hey, at the end of that chapter, he says, kick out that evil person. He goes on to say in chapter 8 that those who live like that, swindlers, liars, thieves. He says, I'm not talking about the ungodly, those who don't claim Christ. He says, I'm talking about within the church. Those who insist on living in sin don't even eat with them. And the last thing he says in that chapter is, remove that evil person. Huh, interesting. It's pretty harsh, right? You think that guy's done. You think that guy's done. He's in trouble, right? Yeah, you're right. Because in 2 Corinthians, what is Paul going to say? Hey, it's been enough time. We don't know how long it was, separation. Go see if he's learned his lesson. See if he's repented. See if he realizes that. It's funny how in the end of 1 Corinthians 8, it's calling him an evil person, then restoring him in 2 Corinthians. Amen. God's heart is always to restore people. And even in that chapter, he says, God's going to judge the ungodly. But he's saying that, but within the church on these things, you be the judge on those things that can spread. If you remember when Paul went up to the Jerusalem with this gospel, he said the big thing was, they said, hey, you gotta remember sexual immorality, Paul, sexual sin. And of course they said animals, what, drinking the blood of animals, right? So if anything, we remember that even under grace, sexual immorality is not okay. That is a sin. Paul even says that sins outside the body. There's sins outside the body, but sexual sin, you're sinning against your own temple. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't join yourself with a prostitute or whatever. The wonderful thing is, because it brings hurt to ourselves. God's wanting to bring freedom. God's wanting to bring deliverance. Sexual sin always brings that cord with people of being one in the flesh. Those soul ties actually will draw you away from God. It allows the enemy to bring torment into your life. So in this day and age, Lord, we thank you for bringing young people back. The grace of God brings people out of sin. The grace of God brings them to his righteousness. It's still, sexual sin is not okay in the new covenant under grace. Paul says it over and over. So when somebody says, hey, under grace, all things go. I'm sorry, are you kidding me? Under grace, he set me free. He brought me out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. It grows. I thank God that the things that we struggle with, he doesn't cast us aside. He doesn't disown us. Amen. We're still his children. But the reason why he's doing these things is so we can walk in fellowship with him. Walking in fellowship with him. Baal worship was what caused them to trip up Israel. You know what? It's the same thing in today's society. Do you agree with me? Lord, give us the ability with your love to teach. To teach the truth of the gospel, bringing people into the love of God. You know, people realize when they're involved in those lies, it doesn't bring no joy. Promiscuity does not bring any joy. Amen. But thank you, Lord, the blood of Jesus, you've washed our sins away. Amen. We don't have to live in any regrets. We don't have to live in things you're like, my. Lord, we thank you. The only one that brings that up to us is Satan. Sometimes through other people. Wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. But thank you, God, that we're set free from that. God always has a remnant. Verse 6, Bill. God, Paul just keeps laying this out. He'll just keep laying this out. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Amen for your grace. Amen. The Jews coming to Christ during that time, they had to come into grace. That was the difficult thing. Verse 7, what then? What Israel is seeking, it is not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, in verse 8, just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day. You know what? And it's still going on to this day. We pray for Israel. We love Israel. We know that Paul says that the full number of the Gentiles will come in. And he says all of Israel will be saved. We know there's coming a time where there's going to be a massive revival with the Jewish people. Has it come? No, because we haven't seen it yet. I remember I told you there was 2% of those in Israel are are of a Christian faith, and 60% of those is Catholicism. So you think about churches like you and I in Israel, the size of them. This gospel of grace, this gospel of truth, saved by grace, set free, is a precious commodity parts of the world. Father, thank you for this precious treasure that we have. Amen. This is a precious treasure. This grace that you and I have experienced, this grace, this gospel of grace that has set us free, that is growing us up in him, is a precious commodity. Many people refuse to hear it. Many people refuse to believe it. To me, it's such good news, but it's amazing to me as I will declare this to people, they'll say, there'll be an offense to them. I'm not even talking about Jews, just regular people growing up in the church, still struggling, but yet at the same point, they'll listen to this and they'll say, this is a stumbling block. This gospel of grace is a stumbling block to me. What a precious commodity this gospel of grace as we keep laying it out there. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God. Amen? But then the next scripture talks about purpose. But he's created in each one of us, I don't care how young or how old you are, but he's created for good works in us to accomplish in him. Amen? The wonderful thing is, as we grow in this grace, the devil will try to keep us tied down on our struggles, our troubles, looking at the bank book, looking at the relationships, looking at the things you're struggling with, and keep you from looking at or saying things like, what is my purpose? What am I to do? What do you have for me? If he can get us to not even mention that out of our mouths, no, he doesn't get our salvation, but he takes our effectiveness. You and I have to have it out of our mouths. God, what do you have for me? Show me, Lord. Fresh vision in my life. The wonderful thing is he shows it, not I. Amen. He shows you. He's the one that opens doors. He's the one that says he gives the power to create wealth. He's the one that, when I say wealth, not even just money, but the power to create things that he has in our life. Wealth for other people. We have a wealth of things inside. The Holy Spirit in us has a wealth of things for other people. What does that look like with all the different gifts, abilities, personalities, and talents? It's just different for everybody. Watching Andrew Womack when he started to speak, I couldn't listen to him for 5 minutes. That slow Texas drawl. And he'd stop every couple minutes and take a big swallow. I couldn't listen to it. Then I read a book called How to Harness Your Emotions. And then all of a sudden that's a powerful book, by the way. Amen. It talks about those who were in a stupor, their hearts were hardened. But we know that God wants to save everybody. He does. But you know, the more people will hear things, they become deaf to them. They don't hear it anymore. Amen. It says in 1 Timothy 2:3-6, Bill. This is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. But he's not willing that any should perish. But I thank the Lord that as we hear the word, some people will hear it over and over and they hearts. There's a stupor. They don't hear it anymore. Father, I thank you for you and I that our hearts are becoming softer. Our hunger for the word is increasing. Amen. Our growing in him is excelling. Our purpose in him is being revealed. And part of that is saying, Lord, I want to hear your word. I want to hear your voice. Lord, talk to me. What do you have for me? Looking over those troubles we have, still looking past that, not getting caught up in things that happened yesterday, years ago, but looking and say, God, what do you have for me today? Amen? What do you have for me? Looking beyond those struggles. We don't get caught up in our checkbook. We don't get caught up in all the weaknesses. We don't get caught up in those other things. We say, God, thank you. Thank you, Father, for purpose. Verse 9, and David says, what did I do with verse 7 and 8? Did I lose those? Did I? Okay, I did. I'm sorry. Verse 9, and David says, may their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Amen. Their table. I think about Psalms 23, 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You have anointed my head with oil. Amen. My cup overflows. Certainly, goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life. And my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord. Going back real quick, and it says, may their table become a snare. Aren't you thank you that the gospel's put a table before us. He prepares a table before us. At this time, the Jewish people were trying to prepare a table, and it said it became a snare. It became a stumbling block. But it says he prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemy. You know, that prepares a table in that Hebrew, a spread. It's a meal. It's stretched forth. And it says in the presence of my enemies. He does that right in the presence of our enemy. You know, as God is working in you and my life, the devil can see it but can't do anything about it. He can kick, he can scream, he can yell, he can try to deceive you, but all he can do is just blaspheme words. He's a liar and the father of all lies. The big thing is us, is are we listening to him? So the Lord prepares a table. What is on that table for you? And another word in that prepare a table is sow. So what God has given us on that table, we can sow. We can sow when we're helping others, of our finances, of our time, of our energy, based upon what God has given us. Not what he's given somebody else, but what he's given us. I think of the widow who put in a small coin or penny. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody else. She gave everything she had. The very small that we have, when we give it to God, it'll grow. He'll sow it. It says that he'll increase that. Don't worry about the little or what you think you are or aren't doing right now. Just give. Just give your heart. Give your time. Give your worship. Give your declaration. Give those things that you have and watch as God will start increasing them. But the enemy will try to hit you from all angle to quit looking at the bounty that he set before us. Amen. The bounty he set before us. What is that bounty that we talk about? He set a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Isn't the enemy trying to bring sickness, disease, lack, deception, fear, intimidation? But everything we have on this table from his word, Jesus says, I won't live by bread, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this bounty is his Holy Spirit. This bounty is his revelation. This bounty is his provision in our life. It was a stumbling block, this potential table of provision that God offers everybody that hears the gospel. Some say, no, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're showing us what this table of bounty means. Amen? Again, what does the table of bounty mean for you in your life? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father God. My cup overflows. Can you see in your mind? That's enough. It's overflowing. Keeps going. Table. Off of the table. To me, it's like showing the enemy, look what I'm doing for my children. It's a just bounty. Fill the cup. Overflows. Thank you, Lord, for our cup overflowing. Amen. Does your cup overflow? Can you see in your mind a cup? Is it a goblet? Is that what you call it? Could you see it being filled? And just his goodness in our lives is more than enough. As the enemy watches it. The enemy watches it. God's provision being more than enough. We thank you, Father, for your provision being more. Thank you, Lord, that we're not hearing the voice of the enemy. Amen. Aren't you glad that he's continuing to soften our hearts towards one another, to those that matter in our life towards the Lord. And I want to be one of those every day who says, Lord, thank you. Overflow. Not just halfway. That's enough for you today. Not just three quarters. That'll get you by. Not just to the top. Be careful when you go to drink that. You might spill a little bit. No, overflowing. Where does that excess go? I don't necessarily know, but it's showing what God says, my cup overflows. It's like more than brimming over. More than we would ever desire. We thank you for our cups overflowing, Father. Every heart here where there's a need, a lack, Father, we thank you for feeling that. Father, every area where there might be anxiety, Father, anger, fear, maybe unbelief in an area. Maybe an area where we're not trusting. We don't realize that we don't really trust you, Lord, because of our past or things we've experienced, so that our cup is not overflowing, Lord. There's maybe not in certain areas of our life, there's hardly anything in it, maybe nothing. Lord, we thank you for touching our hearts and revealing those things to us so that our cup in these areas can overflow. To you may be in an area of gifting that God wants to open in your life that it'll overflow. Maybe it's in the area of finances that it'll overflow. Maybe it's in an area of a relationship that it'll overflow. But I know one thing, that he's designed it to overflow. Thank you, Father, that we wouldn't push away from the table. It became an offense to the Jews at that time. That table, what they were trying to set on that table, were just types and shadows of the things that had passed away. Instead of putting on that table the bread, his body, that was broken. Amen? That cup, that blood that was spilled, all his blood, when that spear through his side and blood and water flowed, everything out of his body being spilt for us so that our cup would overflow. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you. Verse 10, Bill, as we move forward, may their eyes be darkened to see not and bend their backs continually. I say then, verse 11, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? Far from it. But by their wrongdoing, salvation, talking about the Jews, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous, the Jews jealous. Now, if their wrongdoing proves to be riches for the world, amen? And their failure, riches to the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be when they start coming to the Lord? As they come to the Lord. You know, riches in the Greek, fullness, possession, abundance, valuable bestowment. It's funny, Paul's choice of words there. Let me read verse 12 again. Now, if their wrongdoing proves to be riches for the world, and their failure, riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? Everything that he's given to us in his riches. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches, where? In glory. Amen. Made right with God, our health, healing, wholeness, freedom from bondage, cleansed from sin, hallelujah, filled with his Holy Spirit, hallelujah, able to hear his voice, hallelujah, able to understand his word, hallelujah, confidence in him, hallelujah. Are you able to understand his word, by the way? If you can't, just ask him, Lord, I want to understand your word. I want to understand the gospel. The one thing I've realized is I want to understand the gospel. I used to so many times years ago read the Old Testament and read it and read it, love the Old Testament, and load myself down with all these things as I tried to live over an old covenant, under an old covenant. But now realizing in grace, I've thrown that backpack of weight off and I'm free in his grace. Now when I read the Old Testament, I still love the Old Testament. I see it talking about Jesus. I see it talking about that which would come, which I am now living in Jesus' name, under his grace, under his strength. Those things which the Old Covenant talked about, we are now seeing and living in. Amen? If we're waiting for something else, there's nothing else to come. It's up to us. It's up to everything that we possibly need. We need has already been given to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 13, but I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles. Therefore, insofar as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Well, why does he magnify his ministry? If I somehow, I may move my own people to jealousy and save some of them. We've talked about it. We won't stop here, but even those that hated him, even those that persecuted him, he was still looking for those few that would come to the Lord. Amen. 15, for if their rejection proves to be the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Verse 16, if the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are as well. So we know their branch or the root is God, right? Jesus is the root. Israel being in the branches of into Judaism, the old covenant, right? They're God's people. They're still God's people, by the way. They're still, just the way Israel came from non-existence, there being a country of Israel now is a miracle. I saw this thing on YouTube where it talked about how the Jews, who since Jesus died and rose again, how they migrated all over Europe and the different places the last 2,000 years. What they went through, the migration, keeping their identity all that time, and then coming back into their own country of Israel again. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. Verse 17. So if some of the branches were broken off, what do they mean? Well, some of the Israelites, many of the Israelites at that time said, no, we reject this new covenant. No, we don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. No, we're not giving up the old covenant. No, we're still holding on to that. So that's what it means by some of those branches were broken off. And you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. We're grafted in him. James 4:4. But he gives us in the Amplified. But he gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and to live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness. Amen. That arrogance saying we can't do, what is he talking about, that arrogance? Like, I don't need that. I can do it on my own. I don't need his forgiveness. I've got my own form of self-righteousness. You ever met people like, I don't need that? Pride, self-righteousness. It's only the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the people who say, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. Verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, Paul says in verse 20. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Hallelujah. Thank you for faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. What do you mean by fear? I would never want to be, it's a fear of my heart that I would ever be deceived, that I would think there's any other way by which I can be justified or made right with God. We were made right with God only by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Do not be conceited, but fear. Verse 21, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Pretty harsh words, isn't it? Verse 22, see then that the kingdom and severity of God to those who fell, that was the Jews, severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, for otherwise you too will be cut off. You got to be careful. Have you ever seen people that have walked away from the Lord and then God brings them back? Seen that happen to a lot of people. Absolutely. But this thing cut off for people that by faith, it's only by faith we're justified. No works in the world that can justify us before God. 120% by faith we're justified. Romans 4, remember what Paul said? He says, if it was works that justifies you, he said Abraham had no standing, for it was only by his faith that he was justified. Because it said he believed God, and it was imputed to him as righteousness. How was most of Israel cut off? They refused to be saved by faith in Jesus. And that is exactly how you and I stand. You want to experience being cut off from his grace? Let me say, in different parts of your life, just try moving it to justification by works. You want to dry up spiritually? Try doing things on your own. Try moving it to judging others' walk with God completely, where you know where they're at and not. People that are resentful, bitter, angry, start judging others. Their soul will start drying up, it says in Romans chapter 2. The worst thing that can happen in a body is when we start judging one another. Start trying to stand on our righteousness and judging other ones meaning, but I'm okay. You're not, but I am. I'm a sweet-smelling savor before God, but you're not. That's the kind of attitude that actually is like, whoo, that doesn't smell good at all. Thank you, Lord, that we don't. Whenever I experience any type of dryness, I say, Lord, what's going on here? Show me. He wants to show us. People think, well, God's putting you through a season of dryness. You're just going to have, no, I have fellowship with him. I ask him, Lord, where's this dryness? I don't see Jesus ever walking in dryness on the earth. I don't ever hear Paul talking about, well, you're just going to have dry seasons. I do read Psalms 1, it says that our leaf shall not wither, amen, and whatsoever we do shall prosper. I do read that. So we thank you for that, God. So we thank you that we're not of those who are cut off because of unbelief, and we are grafted in by faith, even in our weak faith. Remember, Paul says, he remains faithful even when we're faithless. Thank you that it says that he remembers that we're clay, that we're human beings, right? You know, I think if we knew how he thought about us, what kind of confidence would we walk in every day? That would give us the greatest desire we could ever have to fellowship with him. Most of the time, any fellowship that's cut off with him or pretense is always us. It's always us. Amen? So when I experience any type of dryness, I said, Lord, what's going on? Show me. Show me in my attitude what needs to change here. Show me in a relationship what needs to change. What is going on that I can tweak? He'll show us. Amen. He's faithful. Can we stand up as we close in prayer? Are you alive and well out there? Are you awake? Father, we thank you for the riches of your word tonight. Thank you for speaking to each heart, Father, as we grow in you. Lord, we thank you as the word went forward to tonight that you planted seed in hearts. Not because Chad was speaking, but reading the word of God, declaring the word of God. Lord, so we thank you for seed going into through the souls of our heart, being watered by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for thank you for the bountiful table that you set before us. Lord, I ask, Lord, as we wake up tomorrow, that we think about your bounty. We think about your table. We think about our cup running over. We honor you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.